Welcome to the Drive Phase Podcast, the best podcast for information on issues surrounding sports business in the Caribbean. On the Drive Phase, we have discussions with sports administrators, coaches, athletes, and various stakeholders in the sporting industry and examine their contribution to sports and entrepreneurship. Here's your host, Dalton Myers.
Thanks as always, Colleen. So you've heard from her before a few episodes ago on this podcast. She's a huge sport fan and an even bigger Chelsea Football Club fan, which is obviously sad, but she knows her stuff. Just to remind you that she works in media ever since graduating from Carmack at the University of the West Indies. She's producer for this podcast, and this is the Producer's Corner. And to share on some of the latest happenings in sports, I have Rashika Grant. Rashika, welcome as always to this side of the microphone.
Thanks again. This time should be better. I hope that I don't get as much cussing from the Man U fans as previous episode.
Listen, you don't have to pay any attention to Man U fans. The last time I checked the standings, I'm not even sure where they are on it, on the EPL. Although I think you and them are fighting for some position.
I can't tell you. They're very close to me. They're very, very close. I can't tell you where they are at the table, but you are way up there, so I understand. You're very fine here. So
yep.
I understand.
Social distancing is the key here in the Premier League. Hey, listen, let's start with the EPL. Talk to us about some of the issues there and your thoughts.
Well, the day we're recording, we would have restarted the league, and we are going to see a full slate of matches. And they're still testing in phases. We're not seeing as many positive tests as we were before. Players seem to be more comfortable, because even with my team, we had Kante that didn't want to train with the team at first. He has now returned. So it seems that there's some sense of normalcy returning to the league, though it is still the new normal. There are more players that are seeming to be comfortable with being back on the field, and it is just to see the league completed in 9 weeks, and also the Champions League being completed, and also seeing Chelsea grab a Champions League spot. That's one of my main concerns from the league this season completing. So yeah.
Well, I mean, Chelsea has done really well for such a young team, and we'll probably talk about that in a few. What do you think, though, in the sense that I've seen some matches already, and by the time our listeners are hearing this, we would have had a full slate of matches probably. No fans, new testing protocols. What does that feel like for you watching these games?
Well, I watched some of the Aston Villa match, and it was a bit strange. However, I have gotten a bit used to it because of the German league would have restarted 4 weeks now.
Yeah, well, Bundesliga is a different thing. You know, I can't get too excited. I watch Bundesliga just because it's football,
yes,
but
same.
Hard to get excited.
Same. I mean, it's very different from the EPL, so it does take getting used to. But I was just glad to have some sports to watch. But then no fans. I know this will be for the completion of the season, but I knew for the new season that will definitely not be the case. They will have to find some way, a midday regulations from health authorities to have fans there. It's based on the fact that we've been without football for what was it, 100 days? I think fans are more concerned with seeing football being played. While I still have concerns about the safety and health of the players, I realize that there is no stopping it anymore. So it's just for them to continue being safe, but testing to continue throughout the rest of the competition, which is estimated to be about 9 weeks. And also listening to the players, that's a big part of it. They're the ones being endangered in a big way. So constant consultation, in my opinion, is very important right now. And also, what I know that the league needs to restart based on the financial aspect of it and how much money has already been lost and the impact that it can have on the league, not just for next year, for years to come if it doesn't continue.
You know what? I wonder what these testing protocols are, because they're testing the players a lot. So I'm wondering if it is the same test
that you did,
like the one I did. Because if it was me, there's no way I'd be playing any football. That COVID test that I did, listeners, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Ever.
I've been wondering also, they have not published a lot of details about that aspect.
They won't.
But I have a feeling it's not the rapid testing that only tells you about the antibodies, because that would not have been safe. So maybe they have to go to the discomfort of the COVID test at least once a week. But a lot of football players are very passionate about being back on the field. So that's one sacrifice that they will have to make. I know you wouldn't make that sacrifice again, Dalton.
No, unless I was a Liverpool player. If you're a Liverpool player, you're going to make any sacrifice. It's 30 years waiting. Even if you have to test 2-3 times per day, you're going out there. Liverpool needs to win the trophy.
I know that is going to make your year, actually your decade, when they finally lift that trophy. I mean, you guys will be well-deserving champions. You are runaway league winners at this point. It would be good to see the league actually be completed. What do you think about the celebration aspect of completing the league, though? Because it would be very different from previous years.
There's two things about it. I think they've already started to make concessions about celebrating. I think it's going to be difficult to contain the fans. They obviously are going to put in restrictions, etc. But I think the fans are still going to find ways to celebrate. It won't be like previous years. But, you know, the fact that Liverpool is going to probably win the league again next year, then we have another opportunity to celebrate 2 trophies next year in 2021. So I'm not even too worried about that. We'll probably be winning the treble next year. I think that would be pretty cool.
You also thought you were winning the treble this year. Look at us now. Look at us.
Yes and no. I think we were more concerned about the Premier League.
That's what losers say.
Well, there are a few things. The very first match, I don't know if you saw that, had an issue with the goal line technology. It was supposed to be a goal. I think Hawkeye came out and explained some of the challenges, but what a way to start. And then in the second game, we had a player who had to be stretchered off. The truth is that I think Man City could play with 9 players against Arsenal. It's Arsenal.
I agree. Even eight players. I mean, David Luiz, you don't really count him as one of the players, so...
I don't know why Arsenal fans celebrate and make noise on my Twitter feed. I think they should leave this discussion about Premier League football for a while.
About professional football, right? I agree.
But if for me, though, I'm happy that sport, especially football,
is finding a way
to exist. To be played. It's crucial even just for the psyche of all sport fans, but recognize that there's a health and safety protocol that needs to be put in place, and those are crucial. We see how it goes for next year, because right across the world, all the pro leagues are trying to sort out this year, but next year is also a challenge,
yes.
You know? And next year for most pro sport is just around the corner.
That's something that I think administrators and managers across different sports that they're still battling with, as they still are, everyone is waiting with bated breath to hear, okay, we have a vaccine, but that is still some time to come. So it's just finding a way to exist within this new normal and still have sports. What we have recognized is that is not going to be what we want in for a while. And it's still being fiscally viable. Like, how do they make money from this? And how do they, even just for something like transferring your players, buying your players, how is that facilitated while the leagues or leagues are still ongoing when they would have ended a while now? So that is something that I think they're still trying to figure out that part. Hopefully by the end of summer, even for cricket, for football, that we still have, we have some more concrete things from administrators as to the way forward, not just for this season, but probably for the year after, given that whatever impact it has on finances of the clubs and administrators, how do they move forward from it? It will take a lot of innovation, I think. And it will also take a lot of constant changes. What we see now may not be what we see in March in terms of football. And that's something that fans and players will have to reconcile with while we advocate for the return of sports.
Yeah, well, one of the big issues, and you kind of touch on it right throughout, is contracts, contract extensions, yes. Players' contracts, which is now running out, etc. I think what most clubs have done is
extensions
on these contracts, especially until the end of July.
Yes.
But it's really interesting, even for Liverpool Football Club, who is supposed to start a new apparel sponsor. That becomes crucial. Already, Nike has said that they will allow the team to celebrate in their current jersey, but the pandemic has thrown up a lot of interesting stuff.
It has, and especially when it comes to sponsorship, because just football administrators are facing a huge financial problem from the pandemic, but their sponsors are also facing a lot of problems from it. So a lot of contracts that would have, such as Nike, that would have been signed already, there may be changes within those contracts, as some big sponsors may not necessarily be able to honor the things that they would have signed to before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So that's something that we may also see affecting sports, not just for this year, but probably for 3 to 4 years to come. And so a lot of clubs will have to find a way to be economically viable, not just internationally, but even locally. Right now, there's a conversation about how can clubs finance themselves? How can they be more business-like? And I think that is one of the good things that will come out of the pandemic. Clubs will have to find a way to not just rely on sponsors, but to also be an economically viable entity on its own.
Yeah. Talking about leagues that are supposed to restart competition, the NBA has said that it is ready to go.
Yes.
That we're supposed to see games starting very soon, leading up to
July.
Yep. Leading up, I think it's July 12th to October 13th. They're looking to get this going, and some players are not for it.
Yes, some players are not for it. Some are not for it because of health reasons and safety concerns. And some of persons are not for it because of the current social unrest that is happening, not just in America now, but across the world, that is linked to the Black Lives Matter movement and persons advocating for social justice and more equality among races, not just in every single aspect of society. And you have players like Kyrie Irving that they are not in agreement with the league restarting amidst what's going on. However, I feel like players should have been consulted more before certain decisions were announced. And I think that is a big cause of the unrest from players, because they feel like they are the ones whose lives are being put at risk again, and they were not consulted in a real way before certain decisions were made. Regarding the social unrest, however, for me, I believe that sports is crucial to any kind of conversation going on about society, because it represents society in every way, the diversity of society. It's how sports represents that in one model. It's just a model of society. So I believe that given the celebrity status of players now, like a LeBron James, compared to probably 2 decades ago, players have such a huge voice when it comes to social issues, that I believe that the league restarting is very critical to sustaining the conversation beyond the protests. If the protests start dying down, but players are still doing their interviews after their matches, speaking about Black Lives Matter, speaking about equality and social injustice, then the conversation will continue, and that conversation can also and has already started action, not just within sports, but within society as a whole. So I understand his concern about not wanting to start while we having all of this going on. But as you said earlier, sports affects the psyche in such a positive way that I believe that there are certain things that are needed to maintain some sort of balance.
Yeah. For me, I completely understand where the players are coming from in the sense that the health, the safety of the players, etc., must be taken into consideration and they must be a part of the discussions. I think what the NBA has done, what Adam and his crew has done, is to say to the players, well, you know, nobody will be punished if you don't play. So we're heading to Orlando and we'll get off these games in a competition and you just don't have to come. I think the same thing with cricket. Some of the leagues are saying, if you want, you can decide to stay. Now, the truth is that if you stay, there are issues for personal contracts, etc. So they know that a lot of the players are not going to just make that choice.
Yeah, there are too many implications for players. Why I don't believe that is necessarily the way I would have preferred for the commissioner to go, because there are a lot of implications for players on a personal contract level. That if a bit more consultation had been done, maybe some players that will opt not to go to Orlando. With more consultation, they'll have a better idea. How exactly will this be done, and how will I be kept safe? How will I not endanger the lives of my family when I return home? If there had been more prior consultation, then some of those fears, in my opinion, could have been allayed. But they have already made these decisions, so we just have to move on and see. Some players will have to assess how can this impact me and make their decision from there.
Listen, everything is about money. At the end of the day, the league wants to make money, the NBA that is. The clubs want to make money. And the economy struggles. So everything is really the economics of sport and the business of sport. And the same thing for the players. I think what we'll have to watch later is, you know, what some of these losses will mean to players with a lot of the contract negotiations that are going to be happening, the cuts players will have to be, not necessarily take, but the cuts that they'll probably get with in terms of endorsements, in terms of contracts, etc. A lot of those we will have to wait and see. But I think from the EPL, Bundesliga, La Liga, cricket, football, everything, it's really about the money.
It is. It definitely comes down to that. And I think that's one of the reasons why players would have appreciated a more one-to-one discussion before certain decisions were made. But as you said, it's the business of sports. And if some players, even if star players aren't going out, I mean, once LeBron is going to be there, the NBA will be pretty fine with them, with the league continuing. But
yep.
But yeah, it comes down to business. I mean, even for cricket, where there were some players that opted not to go to the for the England West Indies tour. Personally, if I was an agent, I would tell my athlete to go, because yes, they tell you it will not affect your future with the team, but if you have persons out there playing and you're not playing, then you're putting yourself at risk to not be picked for future games. So it's just that. It's just a case for me, those are the considerations that they have to make.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky one. And for agents, managers, etc., you have to listen to your clients and you have to give them but you have to tell them the realities. And one of the realities, as you say, is that not going on a team sport, not going to an event, could kind of just make you no longer part of that team. Not directly, but someone else may just get your spot, you know? And you may not return as fit as you were and with a lot of the flair and competitive edge that you had before.
Yeah, yes. So, and that's why initially I was not about the league, like for football league returning, but I'm good with basketball returning, especially in the model that they have suggested. I think that's one of the safer models in terms of reducing likelihood of transmission and just keeping them in one place. Mm. And so I would advise players to go out there and take the opportunity, because it's very limited right now. Opportunities in sports are going to dwindle, not just this year, but for a while. So take all the opportunities that are there and try to get ahead of the game in any way you can.
Mm. Talking about that, and players not going to events, so Shimron Erdmeyer, Darren Bravo, and Kemo Paul, all three opted not to travel with the Cricket West Indies team, or West Indies cricket team. They call themselves Cricket West Indies.
Yes.
To go to England. There are a lot of issues there. There are a lot of moving parts there in terms of that tour and whether or not it was going to happen. So far, we know you'd have told all three that they should go. The truth is that whether Darren Bravo go or not, it won't make a difference. But certainly Kemo Paul and Kemo Kemo moves the ball and may be able to get a lot of, you know, swing with the ball with his pace in England. So he would have made a difference. Hetmeyer is one of the young stars, or both of them.
Yeah, they're both young stars.
Bravo never going to make a difference. But outside of that, though, do you think this is a series that we should have participated in, or we should have just said, not yet England?
Initially, I had concerns because the UK is one of the hot spots for the coronavirus. However, given that sports around the world was restarting, I think us Cricket West Indies taking the decision to go to England was a smart business decision, because the truth is that we are the ones restarting cricket. And I mean, West Indies, they haven't had a lot of wins recently, but even if we lose in England, I mean, those matches are going to be well watched, and we can do with all the attention out there. And our players could do with the match time, they could do with the sharpening up. I mean, I would have loved if Hetmeyer was going to be there, because as you said, I think he would have been great. I understand why they choose not to go, but I think this is an opportunity for players right now to take any chances that are out there, to turn themselves into superstars. So why not?
You know, so there are a lot of persons out there who say this is a perfect chance for West Indies to do well, especially because of what is happening in England, etc. I don't think West Indies is going to win any of these matches. So that's the first point. Right?
I agree. I don't either.
I think we'll get whitewashed. But outside of that, you know, the West Indies team was always going to travel to England. And a lot of it, I think, is money.
Yes.
And the English public wants some cricket. The English media wants some cricket, etc.
The world wants some cricket.
Well, yes, but I think they want the cricket, and then they're going to put everything in place to ensure that this happens. I guarantee you, if this was the other way around, that England would be touring the West Indies, that this series would have been off.
Yes, it would have been.
The other thing for me with this series is, yeah, everybody's happy and people are saying thanks to the West Indies, etc. I hope the West Indies team is getting a lot of money from this, because any other team that was going to be touring the West Indies would have called off the series because of fears. And, you know, the funny thing about it, especially when we talk about racism, or we talk about issues to do with race, oppression, etc., with cricket, there's a long story between West Indies and England, you know, and it just so happened that West Indies team is always being called upon to create some excitement for the English fans,
yes.
Especially in bad times.
Especially in bad times. And I mean, as you said, this is a repeating of history. And historically, our games are some of the most well-attended outside of Ashes, probably. Lots of people, well, we have a lot of West Indians in Britain, And so that's a part of it. But as you said, there's a long history. I do think and I do agree that if it was the other way around, we would not have had the series. And that brings again into the conversation about race and politics and sports and politics and race again. So that brings it in, and that, but that is the reality of the situation in terms of, especially Cricket West Indies needing money, needing this type of activity to help keep the ball rolling, because they're currently facing a lot of financial struggles. So it's just so many considerations on the business aspect of it.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think the West Indies team was going to go because of the financial aspects.
Yes.
And the England and Wales board was always going to put pressure on the West Indies team to travel for many different reasons. And here we are again. You know, they are also discussing, you know, protests during the games, whether they'll take the knee or whether the teams will protest, etc. I guess we'll see how that goes, you know, and what will happen there. But a lot of this reminded me of, there's a documentary, Fire in Babylon, and even some of those early series when West Indies team traveled, and some of the racism at the time, some of the racial slurs at the time towards West Indies cricketers and fans, and some of the rules that were put in place. You know, I mean, we've come a far way, I think, since then. But again, it's one of those things. But the other part that you mentioned is crucial, which is the money. And I think we know that the players and staff are already taking pay cuts, or the board is going to implement a pay cut. WIPA has said that they're getting to the discussion. So that's another big one.
Yeah, that's another big one. And there were reports also of some monies being owed from earlier this year. So there's so much there's so much debt accrued. There's so much debt accrued that at some point Cricket West Indies have sent weaker teams to play to represent us before, and I have a feeling that if our best players had decided they weren't going to go, they were going to send that team.
Yeah.
Because we are in dire straits financially.
Yeah, well, these days I can't tell the difference between the strongest team and the weaker team, so I think the same result either way. But the West Indies Cricket Board has always had financial challenges, well, of late.
True.
And as it's widely known that some of the territorial boards still can't get the monies, players not being paid, etc. Yeah, so I think we're going to go one way or the other.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's why I say you can send the strongest team possible. I still think we will win a game, but I'll be able to watch some cricket, so that would be good enough for me.
I'm happy for you. My consumption of cricket has diminished significantly.
Mine has also.
Because what I'm seeing from certainly West Indies cricket is sometimes really tough to watch. You know, they did beat the English in the West Indies the last tour. So a lot of people thought they turned the corner. That's a corner that we have been turning for a while.
I've been watching cricket. Cricket was probably the first sport that took a real interest in. I did not get to see the glory days. And so I've been told and I've been hearing that we're going to turn that corner for more than two decades of my life. And I've given up on the corner. I just want to see consistency. I want to see more rounded players. I want to see more dedication from our West Indies players, because that's been an issue that we've faced over the years. And my interest in cricket wanes sometimes. Sometimes I'll watch for months on end, and then there'll be months I don't watch. It usually comes on the back end of West Indies giving up a really easy game, a really easy win. And I just get so upset. I'm like, no more cricket for a while. But I usually get drawn back in for some reason. But, I mean, I'm really dismayed sometimes when I realize how little interest that youth has in cricket now.
Yeah.
But I just keep hoping for more.
All right, listen, there's a lot of protests happening right across the world for varying reasons, but a lot of this started with the brutal murder of George Floyd, the African-American man. And since then, we have had a lot of protests right across the world. And this now is also in sport. But part of the backdrop is there's a quarterback called Colin Kaepernick. Don't know if you remember that guy, who you first started to sit and then kneel in protest against racism in America and a lot of things. Well, we've come full circle where now the US president, Donald Trump, he's saying that, you know, I think the latest thing, he would support Colin Kaepernick coming back into the league. I won't take on the Donald just yet, but what we're seeing now is protests across the world in various sports, and some of the things that we never used to see happen.
Yes,
certainly in sport.
Corporations such as, well, or organizations such as the IOC, International Olympic Committee, they've consistently tried to maintain their stance that sports is neutral. However, sports can never be neutral, in my opinion, because it cannot be separated from politics, religion, race, because the persons that are participating in sports, they all have an affinity for one thing or the other, whether it's politics, political views, or whether it's issues to deal with race. And I mean, earlier this year, I think it was January or February, the IOC, they put out a long list of guidelines in terms of protests, and now they are having to walk it back because in the guidelines for what was to be the Tokyo 2020, they said you couldn't kneel, no raising of the fist. They actually put in specific things to discourage players from protesting, and now with all that is happening in the world in terms of social unrest due to the murder of George Floyd, they have now said that they are open to consultations with the athletes. And that just shows you that that's the impact of protests.
Yep.
Because one set of protests has made them realize we need to facilitate players and athletes actually having a voice, because why they have this big platform, it should not only be used for sports.
Yeah. You know, I've always felt that athletes should be allowed to protest. The challenge with it is that once you allow it, then there are other forms of protest that may come in that we may not like. However, I mean, just to put it out there that I work for the Jamaica Olympic Association, so I won't get too much into the IOC and what I really feel about the IOC in terms of protest, etc. I am happy though that they are reconsidering, or they're thinking of reconsidering. I mean, there's so much political jargon there that I'm not too sure I understand what they want. But at least it's a start. You know, it's a start, and we'll see.
Yes.
What happens from there. The Commonwealth Games Federation also put out a statement.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I think for the IOC specifically, it's important for them to admit the need for a conversation, because for decades they've tried to silence protests in any way, shape or form by stoking fear within athletes about them losing their medals or sponsorship because of protests. And the truth is that we cannot divorce ourselves from what's happening in the world because we are playing sports. That's not realistic, because if they are not in their track and field suit and they go out and they face some sort of police brutality, the police won't care that they're an athlete. So it's impossible, in my opinion, to divorce it. And of course, as with everything, there has to be protocol, as you said, but protests cannot just be banned. All and sundry, there has to be a way for it to be done. There has to be some sort of way for athletes to express themselves and express and use the platform that sports has given to them, because that's a big part of what sports is supposed to achieve, in my opinion. Unity, action. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, sooner or later, I'll get David Grevenberg from the Commonwealth Games Federation, and they too, I think, they have put out a statement, which is good. However, I've said it openly that the Commonwealth Games Federation have a lot of explaining to do and need to have more dialogue and an open discussion about what the Commonwealth stands for and what exactly we're celebrating. The Queen being the head of the Commonwealth and what that meant for the Caribbean, what that meant for the Commonwealth in general, in terms of slavery, racism, gender discrimination, brutality against people in this part of the world. And I think those discussions also must be had, not just that, okay, well, we're putting out a statement, but it's about where we're coming from, apologizing for some of that and see how there can be some reconciliation, you know?
Yes, I mean, I agree. I saw the Commonwealth statement. And of course, at the time when these statements were issued, a lot of some of the biggest corporations around the world were putting out some sort of stance. But for me, next year, especially with Tokyo 2020 coming up, Commonwealth Games coming up, I want to see some sort of action. How are we going to ensure that some of the injustice that we've seen against race or gender, how are we going to rectify it? How are we going to make things better for women in sports, better for men, for black men and people of color in sports, so that some of the things that people have been speaking about for decades, we will see some reduction in it, that players will be more comfortable playing in countries like Italy, where up to this year before COVID, they were still being taunted with racist jargons, etc. So that's part of what I want to see. How are we going to put all of these pretty statements into actual action? And so players and persons that watch sports also, because fans are a big part and fans are affected by these same issues, are we going to make them feel that we're trying to make a real change and not just saying we see the things that are happening, but what are we going to do about the things that we're seeing?
Yeah. All right. So, Rashika, so I'm going to call some names and you're going to tell me what your initial thoughts are.
Okay.
So I know you didn't prepare for this one. So are you ready for it?
Let's see.
All right. Let's go with Christian Coleman.
Oh, boy. Irresponsible. Irresponsible.
All right. Well,
irresponsible. That's the word. Irresponsible.
We'll have to tackle Christian Coleman another time, probably for the next producer's caller. And the next one is, well, the only thing I will say on the Christian Coleman saga for now, and not just Christian Coleman, is Christian and Salwaid Nasser. Both athletes... I find to be interesting in terms of trying to clear their names in coming on social media. Salwa first went on Instagram to explain that it's normal to miss a test, which is, it's really not. And then Coleman is still on social media at this point, talking about...
Back and forth
about...
He's debating.
And just for the listeners, you must give... the respective agencies a 1 hour in simple terms, you need to give them a 1 hour in the day and so where you will be so that they can test you, you know, random, and they can turn up to that location without notice. They don't have to call you before, they don't have to call you when you're there, they just come to test. And if there's nowhere where you are to collect the sample, then they will take you to a location so that you can, you know, give them the sample, whether it's urine sample or blood sample.
You know,
but yeah.
You know, I really developed an interest in this rule when Andre Russell was affected by it. And reading it, there are a lot of concerns from athletes regarding the rules. But my issue with Christian Coleman is that this happened last year. And so for me, his reaction, one, is irresponsible, as you said, because I don't believe that athletes should speak on these things before it is investigated and there's a conclusion. And if they want to fight it, they fight it. But you don't come online. And he's been on Twitter for 2 days defending himself. I think that's it smacks of arrogance, and it also... of the it tells me that he doesn't recognize responsibility of being an athlete, which like many jobs comes with some uncomfortable things. That there are some uncomfortable parts of your job. This is one of them. You don't fail at your job and then you hit out at the organizations that are supposed to regulate and ensure that the sport is clean.
Yeah. So for doping control, there are a lot of things under the WADA code which are very interesting. And sometimes it's really, really difficult for athletes. I think it was sometime about 2004 when the WADA came up with this new thing under the international standards for testing, where you have whereabouts and you must just provide certain details. Now, let me just say that based on my knowledge, if you are under the testing regime of your local anti-doping body, like a JADCO for Jamaica, etc., they manage a lot of the stuff that you do, right? If the athletic unit, that's the IAAF one, the World Athletics one, they're even more aggressive. They will email you. They will, when your whereabouts deadline is coming up for filing, they send you an email to remind you. In most cases, they are going to also contact your agent on that email, your international, your local federation, etc. If you miss a test one time, I can understand. In fact, sometimes even the second test, I can probably understand, because a lot of things happening with athletes and sometimes they forget. I would be walking on ropes, thin ice, before I allow a third one. And it's within a 12-month cycle. So if it happens in 6 months, you have two missed tests or filings for the next 6 months, for that 1 hour that you identify, I am not missing it. I'm there, you know? So I will see what happened. These athletes will have a right to explain themselves, not on Twitter or Instagram, but their respective anti-doping bodies and disciplinary hearings. So we'll see what happened from there.
Yep, we'll see.
All right, local Jamaica Red Stripe Premier League.
Boy, I don't even know what the word is for that, you know, sir. I have a feeling this is going to get worse. So I think the word is, what is the word here? Desperate. They're in desperate straits to remain relevant, to find fun.
And a life support.
They are indeed on life support. I don't know what is going to happen to our local football league, our semi-professional football league. And I'm very worried. There have been lots of reports in the last few weeks that tell me that there's a lot of help needed, and I'm not sure if corporate Jamaica will be able to give it for the next few years, which means it will have to come from within.
The last one is Chelsea Football Club.
My love. Well, actually, they're also a big source of my stress, but I'm actually quite excited about our upcoming season. This season was really a revelation for me. We have a brand new coach who is brand new in a lot of aspects. He's a Chelsea legend, Frank Lampard. But seeing him take control of the team, I was a bit apprehensive. But I think he has a vision, and I'm trusting my coach. But I want to see where we will be next season. I'm already over this season. I just want us to get a Champions League berth, and then it can end without Liverpool winning. But that's another story. But I'm excited about what Chelsea will be doing for the next year.
Yeah. Well, I tolerate Chelsea when Man U is in the league or thereabouts. If they are not thereabouts, then I have no time for Chelsea. But it's an okay club. Mr. Roshika, thanks for stopping by to chat with me. And if our listeners, if you agree or disagree with anything here, feel free to send your feedback. Roshika is on Twitter. She's at Roshika Grant. And I am Dalton S. Myers. And let us know what you think about this feature. It's something that we have been trying. It's the second time we're doing it. I think Roshika is awesome when it comes down to sport. So on behalf of the entire production team, which includes Roshika, Marsha, Boyce, Masha does a lot of the editing. Well, all of the editing these days. She also has her own podcast in a way, Just In. It's on Facebook. It's a live project. So on behalf of the entire production team, thanks for joining us as always on this episode of the Drive Phase podcast. We have done some changes to our website. Go check it out. You can also listen to the podcast there. I can make comments there. And you can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're having some issues on Google, by the way, or on Stitcher. This will ensure that you'll never miss an episode. Remember, we always appreciate ratings, guys. It's important on Apple Podcasts or any podcast that you use. Go tell a friend about the show so they too can spread the word. Feel free to send feedback, comments, or questions to thedrivephase@gmail.com or look us up on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, we're the Drive Phase GA, but on Facebook and Instagram, we're simply the Drive Phase. Use the hashtag TDP. Until next time, see you then.